that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos? What are the classic reasons that are given? Anyone have a volunteer reason?
Sure.
Thank you, Yael. Don't raise your hands. You can just bite. I'm using your hands. That's okay. Yeah.
I would say because she was like the grandmother of David HaMelech, and he died on Shavuos.
Okay, very, that's one reason given. Very simple. The end of the Megillah says, Ishai Holid es David. Rus was the, you know, Rus Boaz, right? They began this lineage of David HaMelech. And so David died. Now, is that a satisfying answer?
Probably not, because it's not exactly connected to Shavuos.
Right. By the way, in the Hasidic world, apparently, in the Hasidic world, when the rabbis died today? Baal Shem Tov. I'm sure could Google search to tell us. Hi, welcome. I'm sure could Google search to tell us, but I believe the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov is like Melucha. So they want to say that the Melucha, right? The kingship, the kingdom, is connected to Shavuos as well. So, yeah. Okay, good. So, again, that seems very tangential. And by the way, if that's true, just go to the end, Yael. Go to the end of the story, right? Yeah. Sarah?
That, like, Rus accepted the Torah and then we also did on Shavuos.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, meaning that Rus is like your typical Gioras. She's a typical convert. So just like she, Amech Amil Kach Elokai, just like she accepted the Torah, so too Bnei Yisrael in many ways also kind of like accepted the Torah. What? That's a nice answer. It's a beautiful answer. Do you think that really answers the question, Sarah? What do you think? Yes. No. Maybe.
Kind of.
Okay. I'll tell you the issue with that, which is a nice idea. Is that when did we accept the Torah? This is very important.
Like, what? Again?
What was that? What?
Originally, or like Yom Kippur you're talking about?
Oh, okay. So, very good. So, it's like not so simple that it was the day of Shavuos. Meaning, right? Like, the days before Shavuos in the Torah, if you take a look at Perek Yud Tes in Shmos, so... You know, Moshe is like making a shadchan. He's like running back to Bnei Israel. What do you want to say? And they say Naseh, and they say whatever God says, we'll do. But that's not on Shavuos. That's a few days prior to Shavuos. Fine. So you want to say like it's the global time period, right? Fine. Okay, I get that. But just like Rus is accepting mitzvos, so too in certain ways we're also accepting mitzvos, right? Where you know at least like overall. So Rus says, I'm in. And we kind of said, like, we're in. So just like we should be inspired by Rus, so too, just like she was in, we also want to be part of that as well, right? Okay. The only issue with that is that I could save a lot of time and just read the first chapter. Just the first parak, right? I learned that, but I don't necessarily need all the prakim. And let me tell you, when you're tired, or when people are talking, although at Shomer Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken, they don't read Megillas Rus, right? There you go.
Maybe afterwards they do, but like not
part of right. It's yeah, I, right, not. Exactly. Nusach Svard, they don't read Megillas Rus. But for Nusach Ashkenaz, they read it before Kriyas HaTorah. So the question we have to ask ourselves, okay, doesn't matter, Rus is still connected. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, okay, good. So just read the first parak. And by the way, if it's just about the connection to David, then I'm just gonna need somebody. If it's just about the connection to David, so just read the last parak, right? Oh, so you have two reasons. Just read parak Aleph and Dalet and skip Beis Gimel. Okay, so it'll be a little bit disjointed, but what might be another reason that people often quote and cite as the reason why we read Rus on Shavuos? Anyone else? Another reason that people...
Can I try for another one?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know what it's like? What's the game called? Family Feud? You know what I'm talking about? Like, the top answer loses, right? It's still in the game. You can go from, like, 1 to 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can still collect points. You, as long as you don't get 3 of these, right? It's so obnoxious. They're like, is that game, is that show even around anymore?
Yes, that is.
Are you alive? I don't know. Whatever. I have no idea. Yeah? Sure. When I was sick, Malka, I can't hear. Yeah, Malka. Yeah, it is around. It is alive?
Yeah. Wait, which guy's alive? It could be it's a different guy now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true. I couldn't even tell you the guy.
Steve Harvey? Is that him? Or that's like something else.
Who? What was the name?
Steve Harvey?
Yeah, Steve Harvey.
Yeah?
Now it is.
It was Steve Harvey Yehuda?
It isn't. He's been there for the past, I don't know, at least 10 years.
Yeah, so I'm talking, I might be talking a little more than that. When I was elementary school and I stayed home because I was sick, I used to watch that show, right? Come on, we all used to know, right? No. The worst thing was, and I'll just stop, was that when you were sick and you had something that was called a TV, which no one knows what a TV is anymore, like all they had from like 1 until 4 were soap operas. It was terrible. So I knew that I had to watch game shows. And after 12:30, there was nothing to watch on TV because I was not watching any of those soap operas, which were like horrible, horrible. For many reasons, they were horrible. But yeah, not my thing, even when I was like, you know, 12. So, okay. Now, I totally got so. It was nice, a smaller group. You can make it more. Okay, so the other reasons why I'm making this roast. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I got sidetracked. Good. Another reason. Go ahead.
I would say also, like, it talks a lot about collecting, like, I guess, Bikurim or those type of things, like collecting wheat and harvesting.
And therefore?
Like, it's connected to Shavuos, which is like Chag HaBikurim.
Okay, very good. So.
The Omer,
okay. So just like Boaz, well, first of all, the opening pasuk is telling us the time period, right? That's the time period of the harvest season. So that's number one. Shavuos is about Bikurim harvest season. As we read 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't even remember anymore. We highlighted it again this past week. When it comes to Shavuos, we talk about, in the Psukim and Emor, it talks about Leket, Shichacha, and Peah, right? And it talks about harvesting the grain and the Omer. So some of that is also referenced by Boaz. What does Boaz do? Boaz tells his people in his field, Ruth is allowed to collect basically whatever, whenever, right? Don't stop her. Okay, which is the, shall we say, the fulfillment of the pasuk by Shavuos. Okay, so it's both the time period, I mean the season, agriculture period, and the message of gleaning in the fields of Leket, Shichacha, and Peah, which are mentioned in the Psukim by Shavuos, are also mentioned in what? In Megillas Rus. Okay, again, the only challenge with that, well, it's true, by the way, this would be terrible. Oh, that's mentioned like in Perek Beis. So now we have a little bit of Perek Aleph or Beis, right? So because each Perek has like another reason, you put it together as a complete package, right? Good. Another reason, very good. That's another reason that is mentioned. Anyone else know another reason? By the way, the rule is when you have to find 6 or 7 reasons why you do something, usually there's a problem, right? Usually that means that they're not happy with it, right? Which is usually a good sign, right? It's like, oh, why do you like that person? Well, you know, and you list 7 reasons why. No, I don't know why. Yeah. What else might there be the connection, the nexus between Shavuos and Megillas Rus? Is that actually another common reason that's given? Jacob's family for round 3. Let's play the feud. I see people in the background. They're more than welcome to join us too. What was that? Oh,
another.
What was that?
Yeah, there were 7.
There's another Jacob's sister?
Yeah, and a high school Jacob's sister.
Oh, no way. Does she know my daughter? What grade is she in?
She does, yeah.
I do.
What grade are you in?
10.
Oh, very nice. Okay, good. She's upstairs preparing for Yantif, I'm sure. Yeah. Did she have another reason? Did she have another reason? Or she just...
Do you have another reason for us?
Do you another reason?
So Zilber said 7 last week.
There's 7 reasons, really? Okay. So we're missing a few. I'll tell you another reason that's mentioned. Another reason that's mentioned is the idea of chesed. What do I mean? But just like the Torah begins and ends with chesed, Hashem provides clothing for Adam HaRishon, and he buries Moshe, right, beginning and end, which means that it's kulo chesed. It's when you bookend, right, beginning and the end deals with chesed. So too, the book of Rus is all about chesed. What do I mean? So this is a fascinating way of understanding Megillas Rus. Why? Because if you take a look at every time a person does chesed, I call this theory the ricochet effect of chesed. What do I mean? So there's a beautiful, beautiful midrash, which I probably should have prepared and thrown on the screen, but I'd have to like dig it up and whatnot. So I'll just tell it to you. The Midrash says, if four people would have known that the Megill that they were being written about, they would have done something different.
We know.
What? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Boaz, Reuven, Aaron.
Yes.
And who's the last one?
Wait, Boaz.
What? Yeah. How do you know that?
It was in one of Serena's classes.
Yeah, we get to listen to Tefira's classes at home. So.
Okay. That's Serena. Your daughter. That's your sister in grade 10. Okay. Very nice. Okay. Good. So it's Ilu. Ilu hakasuva yaomer, right? Meaning, I want to explain what this means. So I'm just going to highlight the example in Rus just because it'll prove my point. Imagine if I were to interview, if I were to take a camera and I were to go over to Rus and I'd say, Rus in Perek Aleph, Rus, you just accepted to go with Naomi, right? Is that like a big deal or a little deal? She'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't really, like, yeah, I'm leaving my family, but like, I like this new family. And besides, like, Judah is a great place to visit. Like, they have, Israel's a nice place. And, like, Moab is all right. But, there's potential in the family. And they come from dynasty. She's giving up a lot. For sure she's giving up a lot. There's no question about it. We're about to be interrupted. Hello. Okay. Giving up a lot. But, like, would she... Oh, by you agreeing, do you realize what... Gila, what are you doing? What are you looking for? A paper?
I'm looking for a pencil.
A pencil. Here. Take this pencil.
And
what else?
And no.
No.
A pencil that gets gray out of it and a pink marker.
Yeah, come on.
That one.
Okay. And what's the other one you want? A pink marker.
Uh-huh.
A pink marker. You know where there's a pink marker, Gila? Upstairs in the drawer where there's all the markers. There's a pink marker. I saw it yesterday.
I was talking about the one that spreads out this type of pink.
That type of pink?
Because I want to make cotton candy.
You want to make cotton candy. How about purple? That's not going to work, huh? Purple. I think there is cotton candy that's purple. What do you think, Gila?
Okay.
Oh, I'll good. Okay, good. It's right there on the floor.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime. Okay, Gila. You want to do it there? You want to get it on the floor? Okay. Listen, you know what's amazing? Like, if that were to happen, like, most of the time, people are like, oh, it's so weird. Like, his daughter is, like, interrupted, whatever. Now it's, like totally the norm. Like, it's literally happens with every teacher, every speaker. Like, there's, like, whatever. So, okay. I have no idea where I was. Oh, that's it. That if you interview Russ, and you would have said to Russ, by the way, Russ, do you guys, she was like, yeah, whatever, accept it. But there's no way she would realize that by her joining Naomi, it literally would transform the world, the Jewish people. There's no way she would have known that. She thinks that what she's doing is a small, little, inconsequential act that turns out to be this momentous, transformative statement, declaration, event that really changes the destiny of the Jewish people forever. So the Medrash that we quoted, that the Jacobs overheard 81st class quote, I think I got that all right, is the following. It's when Boaz goes over to Rus and offers her and says to her, you can glean from my field, and by the way, I'll make you popcorn. That's basically what he says to her. I'll make you popcorn, right? If Boaz would have known that that conversation was going to be recorded, who would have made her popcorn? Who would have made her a 25-ounce steak with, what's the fancy term for French fries? Fetters or something? Like, whatever, like curly. A dreidel, yes. Yeah, go play the dreidel. Perfect. Right? And it would have made her a whole seven-course meal with wine and white gloves and music in the background, because after all, he wasn't just offering some poor lady something to eat. Rather, it was his future wife, right? So, which, by the way, an important message. Every time you go on a date, you treat that person as if they are going to be your future spouse. That's a good lesson. I did not abide by that lesson, and it got me into a lot of trouble later on. One day I'll tell you the story. So, the that was what the Medra says. And I think if you take a look at that concept, where every person who then does chesed for somebody, the ricochet effect is huge, right? So, for example, Ruth helps Naomi, comes with her back to a journey. Yeah, I'll be just a few minutes. Okay, sweetie? Back to a journey to Yehuda, and she thinks she's coming to her mother-in-law. Now, in the response to that, what ends up happening to Ruth? In the end, the ricochet effect of that is what? She has a family, right? She ends up coming to Yehuda. In the end, she goes out and she tries to collect food to help Naomi, right? In the end, someone else helps her a little bit. Boaz, who offers popcorn, he thinks he's just offering some poor lady popcorn, right? Some lady, glean in my field. Like, do me a favor. Please, everybody, let her glean. Let her take what she wants. He thinks he's being nice. Maybe more than nice. Maybe that's how we treated a lot of people. We don't really know. He just, and then in the end, what ends up happening? Right? Ends up being his future wife. He ends up being what? He helps out this poor lady. He ends up being the Goel. He ends up being the father of Malchus Beis David. So everyone who tries to help someone else, I'm just helping out person X. In the end, that person, something much greater ends up happening to them. Right? And I think that is pretty remarkable. And maybe you want to say, why then is the Megillah read on Shavuos? So I mentioned something yesterday that I think is very true. The idea of the notion of what is the Torah ultimately about? It ultimately is about saying, how can I become the greatest person that I am supposed to become? The Torah is not about restrictions. It's not about limitations. Anytime there's a limitation, it's only because there's a sense of value and purpose to it. It's there to assist us in understanding ourselves and the world and people better. That really is the ultimate function of of the Torah. And so that, I think, one of the things that we want to highlight on the holiday of Shavuos is the idea of Matan Torah, because sometimes, especially if you take a look at the secular world out there, the more rules that you have, it's viewed as limitations. It's viewed as something negative. We want to be free, right? We want to be unrestricted. Don't tell me what to do. It's my body. I get to do what I want, when I want, how I want, right? It's the sense of, I know what's best for me, right? And in many ways, while the Torah is saying, no, just like Apple knows how to maximize the use of your iPhone, or Android knows how to use your Android, whatever, right? Because they built it, they made it, they understand how it works. So too, I think what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately saying is that I know how to truly enhance the way you can be, and the way you can feel, and the way you can act, and the way to enhance and build communities. All those things really do have a sense of value, which is why the Medrash says, don't say that the luchos were charus ala luchos, that they were engraved, but rather not charut, but charut. The sense of freedom. Why? Because real freedom is a sense of purpose and meaning. And I think that really is the amazing thing about the holiday of Shavuos. And I quoted this yesterday. I'll say it again. The Kutzke Rebbe said, right? The Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbos Agado. What's the Shabbos before Shavuos? What are those days leading up to Shavuos? And he said it's Derech Eretz. Why? Because Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. And I think that's a very, powerful message. If the Torah doesn't make you a better person, a more thoughtful person, a more sincere person, a more dedicated person, a more caring person, then it's for naught. Right? The goal isn't that, I shook a lulav. Oh, I sat in the sukkah. I blew the shofar. I shuckled back and forth a lot of times, right? That even done with a minyan. That's not the point, right? And by the way, and people are struggling with that in many ways right now, right? They don't, sometimes going to minyan is a varazara, right? Because you worship the minyan. You don't worship your relationship with God, right? If doing certain things are dangerous and not healthy, I can go on a whole tirade here, right? But I won't. Then you're doing them anyways, so you actually don't care about people, right? You don't care about people, because if all the doctors say don't do this and you do it, well, you're just endangering other people. So then what's the purpose of why you're doing certain things? That's called avodah zarah. You're not doing it for God's sake, you're doing it for, right? You know, and I think when we can truly appreciate the people around us, and I think that really is the idea of the function of the Torah. It's not always easy. No one said it's easy. But I'll tell you, it's like the inverse. Today, and I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the hardest Jewish holiday in the Torah, by far, is Pesach. Both from an economic perspective and a labor-intense perspective. There's no more difficult holiday in the Jewish calendar than Pesach. Yes, fasting is difficult on Yom Kippur, but it's only a day, and it's cheap. It doesn't cost you anything, right? Pesach, from an economic perspective and effort and just logistical perspective, is way more complicated and way more expensive. Yet we all know that Pesach is the most celebrated Jewish holiday, right? Up there with Hanukkah, right? Why? Because sometimes the more effort that you put into something, the more you can connect it, the more you realize it actually has value and purpose. Easy come, easy go. The holiday of Shavuos, if you ask many, many Jews, they're like, huh? Shavuot? They don't know what you're talking about. It is not the most popular holiday. It's for sure the most, you know, strange name for a holiday, as we discussed in the last few days. And in many ways, it is totally off the radar. Like, lasts for a day / 2 days, and poof. No, what do? You eat cheesecake? Like, what are you talking about, right? Like, there's no doing, right, on Shavuot. But I think that might be the point. The point of Shavuot, so I'm going to end with this, is to experience it, is to live it. It's not something special. Why? Because the real purpose of the Torah is not that special moment of a shofar or a lulav or the matzah or the maror or the Hanukkah candles. The main purpose of Shavuot is about everyday, regular life. And to find meaning and inspiration and purpose in everyday life, that's the purpose of the Torah. And that's why in Shavuot, there is nothing to do but engage with Torah. And I'll end, and I put it in the chat, and we published it. One of the things that I wrote about in this companion, the short companion, was that very idea that the bracha that we make on Torah is lasok bedivrei Torah, to engage with Torah, and that truly is what the function of Torah is. That it should really impact the days of our life, our relationship we have in our life, and how we kind of view the world around us with a sense of, you know, meaning and purpose. That we're not random. We're here at this moment. We are living during coronavirus because there's a reason why we are here. We're supposed to learn something from it and glean something positive. And from that, at the right time, the right place, we'll go back to seeing many people. That's not the call right now. That's the call maybe tomorrow, maybe down the road, and God willing, very soon. And it should be a wonderful Shavuos with you and your families. Really, Chag Sameach, everybody. And I look forward to seeing you. Anybody here? There's actually not a single person in Thornhill. Okay, so I will probably not see you at all, even on the streets walking around over the next 48 hours. Isn't that interesting? No one from Thornhill. Not comments about Thornhill, but okay, whatever. Everyone's going to be for Yontif, that's why, I guess. So so I will see you, God willing, on Monday, 12:30 again. I have no clue what the topic is going to be, but like I said, always on Thursdays, I have at least 3-4 days to figure it out. So have a good Shabbos, good Yontif, and enjoy the Chag. See you on Monday. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Grande.
Bye, thank you.